Good evening. It's good to be back amongst the living. It's been a tough 3 weeks. I told Peg and I think Bruce, maybe or Kurt, I hope I can get through 30 minutes of talking without getting into a coughing spell. So we'll do the best we know how to do with what we got to work with. Good to see everybody back tonight. Nice attendance tonight. Bruce talked about why we didn't come back for class on Sunday mornings and why we didn't come back for worship on Sunday night and class this morning. And good points were made all the way around. I've broken chapters 12, 13, 14, and 15 of Romans into righteous relationships. So tonight and two or three of the next times that I preach, we're going to be looking at different types of relationships that Paul addresses in these four chapters. I think it's important to understand and know that it's really difficult to have a relationship with someone else if we don't have a relationship with ourselves. We need to know ourselves. We need to understand ourselves. We need to respect ourselves. We need to like ourselves. And more than anything, I think a lot of times we need to learn how to forgive ourselves. And if we don't have the relationship with ourselves, if we don't like ourselves, if we don't have respect for ourselves, and we can't forgive ourselves, how in the world do we think that we can do that for others? It's just not a happening thing. God gives us direction to forgive. Forgive us as his son, forgive others as his son forgave us. That's pretty good instruction. But as we move on in our own personal lives, sometimes it's difficult to forgive yourself for some of the miscues that we have in life. So we're going to take a look at some of these things over the next three or four times that I preach. We're going to start tonight. In Romans 12 is where we're going to be. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That sets a precedent for what Paul has in mind for the rest of these relationships that he talks about. He says, I ask you by the mercies of God. Full power, I'm asking you. And then he lays it out. He says, present your bodies. How do you present your bodies? You present them a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. It goes back to what I said. If we can't have a relationship with ourselves, like and respect ourselves, how are we going to enter into a spiritual relationship with God? How are we going to be that living sacrifice, that holy person that is acceptable to God if we don't have that relationship with ourselves? Then he says, do not be conformed to the world. You're going to have a righteous relationship with God. You can't be conformed to the world. You can't have God and Satan both. We're told, I believe it's in Matthew, where you can't serve man you can't serve both. You can't have it both ways. So if you're going to have a righteous spiritual relationship, you need not be conformed to the world. And then he says, be transformed. Hopefully that all happened when we were baptized. We went down into the water to lay aside the old man and come out anew. Be transformed. Renew your mind. Sometimes we get into a rut in our lives. We get into situations where the mind wants to go this way when it needs to go that way. Sometimes we need to renew our thinking. Sometimes we just need to get back to the basic word of God and do a little study to get your mind back right. Bruce said, I think in class this morning, I got my mind right, boss. from a movie that was, who was in that movie, Bruce?
Cool Hand Luke.
Cool Hand Luke. But, you know, that type of saying, God's our boss. Do we have our mind right? Are we transformed? Or are we conformed to the world? That righteous spiritual relationship, we need to put into practice what Paul's telling us here. The next one I want to look at is righteous social relationships. He lays this out in Romans 12:3-8. Let's read through this and then we'll come back to it. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. A lot of instruction right here as far as we look at a spiritual relationship, and now we're looking at a social relationship. Like in verse 3, he says, don't think of yourself too high. Don't be arrogant. Don't put an error about yourself that I'm better than everybody else. Think soberly. Quite simply, that means to be godlike. Doesn't have anything to do with alcohol. Doesn't have anything to do with drinking. It means to be pure in thought and think godly. Verse 4 tells us there's many members in one body. We know that just looking at our own congregation. I don't know how many were here this morning, 70, 80 people. All members of one body, yet we're all different. And then he also says in verse 4, members don't have same functions or abilities. So we need to understand that. Sometimes it's difficult. I'm going to choose myself. Why can I teach and I can preach and I can do this and that and you can't? Well, maybe it's not your function. Maybe it's not the abilities that God gave you to use. Everybody's different. Everybody has different things. So we need to understand that even though we're one body, we are still individuals as we function inside that body. I like to think of it as the arm and the hand and the fingers. You got an arm, you got a hand on the end of it, and you got five fingers. All part of one, yet they all have a different function. Somebody broke it down one time, it's like the egg. You have the shell, the egg white, and the yolk. To handle it, it's one thing. To look at it, it's three different things. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one thing. But to look at it, there's three different things. So as we look at and understand a social relationship one with another, we need to understand that everybody's got different things to do. God has given different talents to each person. Even though we're many, we are that one body. We are individually members of one another. God has given each of us different gifts. The thing we need to understand, the thing we need to do, Paul says in five and six, let us use them. And then he lays it out, and he says, if you have the ability to prophesy, then prophesy in proportion to your faith. If you have the ability to be in ministry, then use it in ministry. If you have the ability to teach, use it for teaching. If you have the ability to for exhortation, use it. He who gives, do it with liberality. Bruce had a really good sermon this morning on giving. He alluded not only to the financial ends of giving, but also to our personal ends, our time, our own devotion to the Word of God. Then he says, he who leads, do it with diligence. If you're going to be a leader, don't sit back. If you have the ability to lead, don't sit back. Be diligent about it. He who shows mercy, do it with cheerfulness. All right? So all these things that he talks about here are things that we need to do as far as our relationship here with God and the social relationship that we have with one another. But the main focus here is whatever gift you have, use it. It doesn't do any good to sit in the background, and if you got an ability and criticize somebody else because they won't do it, do it yourself. Bruce asked me tonight if I wanted to teach on Sunday mornings again. I don't know. I don't think so. I'm just to that point where I can't hardly do it anymore. I did it for many years. I don't want to give up preaching, by the way. But I have those abilities. Everybody's different. Some can lead songs. Some can lead prayers. Some can do table. Some can preach. Some can teach. Some have the ability to fit in class and bring up good ideas that maybe what the scriptures are trying to say. But don't just sit back. Use it. Be vocal. Romans 9 through 21, Paul talks about righteous personal relationships. And again, we'll just read this and then we'll come back to what he has to say. He goes on after verse 8, then he goes on, he said, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things to the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live personably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I don't know if y'all, you know, I've read that a lot of times. And I've taught the book of Romans. But I don't know until I got into putting this together as far as relationships are concerned that I really understood what Paul was saying here. There is so much instruction in this chapter as to how we need to be living our lives. How we need to have, as we started with, that relationship with God and then with others. Let's go back to verse 9. Paul says, let love be without hypocrisy. What does that mean? What does it mean to be a hypocrite? You say one thing and do another. He said, don't let love be that way. If you're going to love someone, love someone. If you're going to love God, love God. If you're going to love the congregation, love the congregation. But then don't go around on the other side and start stabbing in the back. Doesn't work out that way. Paul said, let love be without hypocrisy. And then he uses a word here, abhor. What is evil? Get away from it. Have nothing to do with it. If you're going to abhor what is evil, it only stands to reason that you need to cling to what is good. So what's evil? We talked about in class this morning. What's evil? We talk about darkness. We talk about darkness, we talk about Satan. All right? We talk about good, we talk about light, we talk about God. So if we're going to abhor what is evil, get away from what Satan's got to offer. If we're going to cling to what is good, get back into God's word and make that relationship stronger and look at what God has to say. You want a good life? You want a life that's going to be rewarded at the end with a home in heaven? Then you're going to cling to what is good. Then in verse 10, he said, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. We need to not only like one another, we need to love one another on a spiritual end. Doesn't mean we got to go out to dinner with everybody and we got to do this and do that. But you need to have that brotherly love and understand that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's a brotherly love that we need to have. And Paul says, be kindly affectionate to one another with that brotherly love. Then he says, in honor, give preference to one another. Understand one another. Give some leeway. Quit grumping about what somebody's doing. You want to put it into common language? Do that and not lag in diligence. Don't be lagging in diligence towards God's work. Be steadfast. Be honorable. Dig your feet in. Do what you're supposed to do. To further that out, it says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That's all direction in how you have that personal relationship with God. And in verse 12, he said, rejoice in hope. What hope? I hope I have dinner tonight? No, that's not the hope he's talking about. The hope he's talking about is the hope that we have by living our life right, and we have that home in heaven that God's promised us. Rejoice in that hope. Be happy with that hope. Be patient in your tribulations. Okay, Paul, that's easy said. Things are not going good. How are we supposed to be patient? Well, a lot of times all it takes is to open up the Bible and start reading God's word. I've done that, and I've gotten into passages where it deals exactly with what I'm dealing with without ever looking it up. You think that's not the Holy Spirit working? Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation. And then he says, be continuing steadfastly in prayer. All right, so we're going to rejoice in the hope that we have. We're going to be patient in all this stuff that goes on in our lives. And how do we do that? We remain constantly steadfast in prayer. If you're going to have that relationship with God, if you're going to have that personal relationship with God, you got to talk to him. Marriages fall apart because of a lack of communication most times. We have money issues or we have personal things or one wants to do this and one wants to do that. We have no compromise in there. But if you look at this and we have communication with one another, Paul's saying here, talk to God. If we have that ability to talk to God and we have the fortitude to talk to him, he's going to understand us better. We're going to understand him better. And we're not going to question so much what goes on in our life. When's the last time you looked up at God and said, God, I got this problem. You just handle it. I'm done with it. Sometimes that's easier said than done, but that's what the Bible teaches us to do. Don't fret over it. Don't worry over it. Remain steadfast in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Don't be afraid to sit down with somebody and help them with their life. Don't be afraid to sit down and open up God's word and say, here's what God has to say. You're just an intermediary. Don't get mad at the guy that's bringing you the message. The message is from God. Given to hospitality. That doesn't just necessarily mean open up your house door and invite everybody in for dinner. It means to open up your heart. It means to open up your mind and your hands and your arms and say, here I am. If I can help you, let me know. Be hospitable towards one another. Then in verse 14, you know, some of this instruction is pretty tough. He says, bless those who persecute you. I'm telling you, that's tough to do. But the instruction is there to do that. And then he says, bless them and don't curse them. Yeah, I don't get him. I'm going to see it a little bit later in three or four verses where you're not supposed to take revenge on somebody. But right now he says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Somebody done you wrong? That's hard to get away from. Be of the same mind towards one another. In our congregation here, I think we can put a check mark by that. We are on the same mind. We're on the same page, if you will. We're reading out of the same book. We're praying to the same God. We're doing the things that God says to do. We question sometimes, but then we go to God's word and say, here's what God says. Let's don't get a man's opinion in here. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things. It's okay to dream. It's okay to have nice things. But don't let that rule your life. Don't set your mind on those high things. Associate with the humble. Be happy with what you have. Be humble of mind. And then, the last part of verse 16, it's hard for some of us that have A personalities to do this. It said, do not be wise in your own opinion. I didn't know anybody's opinion counted except mine. You know, and I've had to deal with that my whole life. If I can't have it my way, I'm going to take my blanket and go home. If my opinion doesn't matter, then I'm out of here. And I'm sure I'm not the only one that deals with that. Because I look over this crowd, there's more than one A personality in this crowd. And A personalities deal with those kind of things in their life. But Paul said, get away from it. Then verse 17, here he comes back at us again. He said, don't repay evil for evil. So if I've done you wrong, you can't, just don't go back at it. Have regard for good things in the sight of who? All men. Yeah, we got good people, we got bad people. We're talking about a righteous relationship here with God. We're talking about those in a congregation of God's people. Don't repay that evil for evil. Somebody done you wrong? Don't throw your hands up and walk out the back door and never come back to worship. Deal with it. Straighten it out. Do it humbly. I know none of us like confrontation, but neither does God. If it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Well, I just can't get along with Tracy. I can't live with him. Yeah, you can. Paul gives a little bit of an out here, but don't let that become a reason. Because he says, if it is possible. Well, it is possible. But he says, as much as depends on you. So this getting along with everybody depends on you. What's your frame of mind? What's your attitude? What's your respect to yourself and towards others? How well do you like yourself that you can put that likeness towards others? That's what he's talking about here. Live peaceably with all men. Especially those of the household of faith. There's just people out in the world you can't live with. And I amen to that. But within the brotherhood, we need to be peaceable and we need to live with everybody. Verse 19, this is what I was talking about a little bit earlier here. Paul said, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. Who said that? The Lord. And what else did he say? I will repay. Leave it up to me, God says. I'll take care of it. So we got vengeance in our heart. We know that God's going to take care of it and deal with it. Why should we worry about it? He might not deal with it until everybody's called to heaven or sent to hell. Or he may deal with it tomorrow. He may deal with it in 30 days, might be 30 years. We don't know. God's plan is way above ours. But he will deal with it. And I like what Paul says here in verse 20. You know, you could probably put a sermon together just on this verse if you wanted to. He says, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Yeah, right, Paul. What good's that going to do? And he says, if he's thirsty, give him a drink. Then he tells you why. For in doing this, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Stop and think about that. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. And if you do these things, it's going to be just like you put fire on the top of his head. He ain't going to be able to handle it. Somebody really upset with you? Feed him and give him drink? Go to God's word. That's the nourishment they need. And you, maybe. And then verse 21, we'll end up here. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. He kind of started out back in verse 9 or 10 with this. And he said, just don't let evil overcome you. So that's a righteous personal relationship with God. Things that we need to do and look at as far as our relationships with one another. We look at this, you know, I look at the instruction that Paul gives here in these four chapters of Romans, and there's just instruction after instruction after instruction of how to not only deal with yourself and own personal problems, but how you deal with others, especially those that are within the household of faith. So we looked at three of these tonight, the spiritual, social, and personal. I don't know how it's going to spread out, but three others I want to look at are civil relationships, public relationships, and fraternal relationships. So we're going to get into a little bit more, maybe a little more deeper than you know, what we've ever looked at in these chapters of Romans. I was telling Bruce, if, once you get past the first eight chapters of Romans, there are a lot of instruction. Paul has a lot of things to say. And I think sometimes we just, you know, it's like other places in the Bible, we just kind of read through it and don't pay a whole lot of attention to what's going on. But when you break it down, Paul discusses a whole lot of different things here. So the lesson is yours. I appreciate everybody here tonight, all the those that are here in attendance, those that might be online listening to us. We appreciate you too. We leave you with an invitation that if you've not put Christ on in baptism, we would give you an invite to do that tonight. Kurt's always got the baptistry ready for us. The water's warm. We'll take care of that need if you have a need for that. If you're having difficult with some relationships, you know, with others, with yourself, or, you know, whatever's going on in your life, if you need some help, we'll pray for you. This prayers of this congregation, we know work. We've seen them work. There's not a question in that. The question is, are you willing to tell us what a problem is so we can help you? Or are you going to try to deal with it by yourself? That's the question. So with that, I'll leave it with you. Michael's going to lead us in a song of invitation.